making known the riches of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Ministries, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Well, we're so grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and we are always grateful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. Today, we're going back to 1 Samuel chapter 3 in the Old Testament, and we're going to work through God's calling of his prophet. This is going to have huge implications for us in the life of the church today, understanding how God speaks, understanding the importance of his word, and what we can learn from this will just be so important for us to value what God has given us today. If I asked you to highlight the greatest blessing from the Lord in your lives, what would it be? I'm sure there would be a long list of blessings, but I'm talking about priorities. There really is one blessing far above everything else. One blessing so great, so wonderful, and so utterly common to us that I'm pretty sure you didn't even think about it when I asked you to highlight what it would be. If you didn't have this, nothing else would make sense in life. You would go through life with no meaning, no hope, no strength, no perspective, no salvation. You would be completely in the darkness. So you know what is the single greatest blessing God has blessed you with? It is his word. Do you think you take that for granted, dear listener? How dependent are you upon the word of God? Think about it. The word of God. How much do you read it? Be honest. How much time is in a given week is given to it? Do you spend in it? If God decided that his word was not to be heard anymore, and he pulled the plug and he said, "That's it, I'm taking it away," how would you handle that? Better said, what would it indicate if in a place where God's people reside, where there are Christians, in a city full of Christians, what would it indicate if the Christians in that place didn't know it anymore, didn't understand it anymore, didn't care about it anymore? What would that really be saying? What would it be saying about God, and what would it be saying about us? Imagine your life without the Bible or without any preachers who actually delivered the faithful and the true preaching of the Word of God. If you can begin to contemplate what that would be like, and it brings no emotion, no response, that would be very telling that you have taken the Word of God for granted, that it has made little impact upon your life, and you've just not tasted it. If you're never in it, you certainly aren't going to miss it if it's taken from you. But if that thought brings some amount of distress, then you're going to be deeply touched by what has happened to Israel in the book of 1 Samuel. Today, I want us to leave realizing in this week just how dependent we are upon God's word to survive, and to realize that if that word is non-existent, as Jesus said to the people of his day, "My word has no place in you." With that, if that is the reality, we have to turn to Christ, asking him to fill us with a deep hunger and thirsting after his word that we might know him. Just as Jesus said, this is eternal life, that you would know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. It's possible for you to be in your churches or listening today and not know the Lord. That fact alone should make everyone really attentive to what the Lord is teaching us through the nation of Israel. The whole chapter here, chapter 3, begins with a statement that should really make us halt in shock. Let me open this up and read a little bit of this today. 1 Samuel chapter 3, and this is what we read in verse 1. "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation." What a statement, isn't it? He just said that in those particular days of Israel, there was no widespread. Nothing was being made known from God on a widespread level. No revelation from God. The people were completely in the darkness with regard to the Lord. And the real shocking thing about it is that they were coming up to the house of the Lord for worship. They were doing all the things as Israelites and the sacrifices they were supposed to be doing, but God had chosen not to speak to them. They didn't have the Bible like we do. They were completely dependent upon the Lord in those days of raising up a prophet and sending that prophet to speak in the name of the Lord. But there was none. There were no prophets. Effectively, the whole office of prophet had seemed to be shut down. They didn't hear from him. His word was rare. You ever thought about that kind of scenario? Listen to Proverbs 29:13. When there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Psalm 74 made the same cry. When we don't see our signs, there's no longer any prophet, nor is there any among us who knows how long. Why do you withdraw your hand? One of the worst statements comes out of the book of Amos. Amos 8, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. The Lord described a day when he would be absolutely quiet and the people would be starving. They would be like those who desperately search for food and drink because there would be none among the prophets who were delivering God's word. Now, you can't read this today without asking some very serious questions. Why? If God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, why is God not speaking? The opening line is telling us that when this happens, this is a direct response of God's divine displeasure that he is withholding his word because something has happened. Now, we've studied what was going on. Remember, the corruptions were awful. People hated to come to worship. They hated to offer. They were making the people transgress. And the sins of God's priests in the previous chapters, verse 17, were very great in the sight of the Lord. Now, it was never just the priest's fault. What we find throughout the Bible is that often the corrupt leaders were doing just what the people wanted them to do. It was a strange thing throughout history of Israel that as they turned from the Lord's law and as they did just what they wanted to do, the consequence of that was that they stopped getting the word from the Lord. And what that exposed was the truth that God viewed his word to his people as a great privilege. They didn't deserve it. It was a privilege to have that word spoken. But when they turned from it, they didn't get it. It wasn't that the priests stopped preaching and preaching supposedly in the name of the Lord. The judgment was seen and that what was spoken became their messages and not the Lord's. Jeremiah would constantly say this, the prophets prophesy falsely and the priests rule by their own power and my people love to have it so. The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I've not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and a deceit of their heart. The Lord was so offended by the behavior of his church, he shut down speaking to them. The word became a totally rare thing. Now, we don't think of things this way, but the real indicator of how bad things were here in Israel is emphasized here in verse 2. In verse 2, we read, it came to pass that at the time while Eli was lying down in his place, while his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lampstand of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark was, stop. Did you catch that? There's a play there between the spiritual and the physical. What was the lamp burning for in the tabernacle? It was to be kept burning in that place from morning until evening, and it symbolized the Lord's presence walking among his lampstands. He was their light. He was their life. And the Lord speaks here not of its lighting, but of the light going out. Now, when the light's going out or the candlestick is removed, the Lord was describing a certain kind of darkness here. Notice the connection. What's being highlighted is that Eli's blindness in physical sight was a direct reflection of Israel's spiritual darkness. Blindness of eyes often has to do with the blindness of the heart. How great was the darkness of Eli's house? If you want to look at that, dear listener, go back and read chapter 2, and you will be shocked at the things that the priests were doing. Now, why is God showing us this? I want us to think about this today. Here's what we really should be thinking about today. Years ago, I was giving a talk at a Christian school, and I spoke on Amos 8 of this famine, not of bread or water, but of the hearing of the word of the Lord. And a teacher walked up to me and said, I'll never forget this. He said, can you have a famine with the bread in your hands? It struck me. What a strange kind of famine that we in this country can have with the Bible in our hands. Do you know, dear listener, that there have been 200 English translations of the Bible since 1900? I researched 182 study editions of the Bible, including stuff like the Men of Color Study Bible, the Remnant Study Bible, the Revival Study Bible, the Extreme Teen Study Bible, just to name a few. Whatever kind of leather you want, pink, blue, purple, whatever kind of decor, and now you can get it even on, right, your iPhones. Everyone is writing today, ironically, in this culture, that biblical literacy has never been greater among Christians. One author states that the key test of Christian faithfulness anymore is not the affirmation of a creed or a catechism or knowledge of the Bible, but the capacity to claim an emotional relationship with Jesus. A book just came out not too long ago with a series of interviews from American Christian teenagers. This author writes, the majority of teens interviewed reflected the belief that God is primarily concerned with making people happy, bailing them out when they get in trouble, and providing them with the necessary goods to enjoy life. In other words, God is basically a nice, permissive dad with a big wallet. You think we're in a famine? Do you think with the Bible in our hands, people today are really hearing the word of the Lord? They're really knowing the word of the Lord? I suggest today that the very thing we're experiencing is the exact opposite of what people think is happening. The flood of messages people are receiving today are no different than Israel's days when the prophets and the priests were speaking messages of their own dreams and own makings, but verse 1 is the reality. Let me read verse 1 again, and we'll come back to it this week. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. In the midst of this darkness, God is going to be done with the house of Eli, and he's going to raise up a true prophet. We are in desperate need in our times to humble ourselves before God, and ask him to again imprint his word, his revealed will, the word of God, to have a high view of that word, and that we would treasure that word in our hearts, that we would long to hear that word preached, that we would hear him in the word. Everything today under the sun is given to attack that. The word is the only deposit of truth where it declares the gospel of Jesus Christ by which a sinner can be saved from his sins. It's tragic that no one knows this word today. It's my prayer in Abounding Grace that people would open it again and that the Lord would begin to reveal that word to the hearts and minds of those who hear so that a great salvation would occur again in our land. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, so we sincerely ask for both your prayerful and financial support. Write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Again, that 732 is the P.O. Box. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.